Welcome to this Financial Advisor podcast. It is our weekly podcast where I speak to leading financial advisors. My name is Ryk van die Kerk and my guest today is Jaco Joubert of PSG Wealth in Sandton. Now, Jaco is a professional accountant. He's a certified financial planner and a fiduciary specialist. He started his career in 1994 and he has won several awards as the Financial Planner of the Year, amongst others with Liberty and with PSG Wealth. Jaco, welcome to the show. Let's start with the markets. We are currently seeing a nice little run by the JSE, which of course is in line with recent performances of international markets. What are your thoughts about this run and are you concerned?
Thank you, Ryk. I think most important is that if you're already in the market, it's not a time to sell. We have to always look at when you enter the market, obviously what your goals are and how long you will be investing into the market. Give you a little bit of insight on long-term investment, if you go back to the 1900s, you'll find that if you had invested 1 rand in equities, it would be worth over approximately 3,600 rand today. If you invested in bonds, it would be only about 7 rand, and in cash, just over 3 rand. So long-term investment of over 100 years would tell you the story that there are returns in markets. And we have to understand that returns are specific in specific market conditions. There will sometimes be challenges and sometimes opportunities. But I think we must bring it always back to an individual and look at their needs. Obviously, if you have a very long term ahead of yourself and are looking for growth, then you can enter the market. Maybe at this point in time when you enter the market, it would be a good thing to phase that investment into the market rather than to just invest at a specific level. By phasing in, I mean you can invest it over a period of time and then you get a rand averaging of shares or unit trusts. But if you are looking for income, it's a total different picture. So the answer is not always the same, but we have to remember long term. In equities, it's one of the only asset classes that you can comfortably beat inflation, and that is the key for long-term investment.
But how should your clients look at, the short-term political noise we are seeing and the potential impact it will have on South Africa, our economy, confidence by international investors? How do you, consolidate those concerns into an investment plan?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone's got a specific answer for that because it's a big discussion out there. I think we must remember to bring emotion out of investment philosophy is the key for investment. And a financial advisor is always there to help to remove emotion from investments. Now, if you are sitting with a client that are highly upset and maybe worried about the current state of the economy and has got a very short-term horizon of their investment, obviously, to go into risky assets like equities, it would not be ideal. And then gradually investing them into other asset classes or looking for certain types of guarantees would be a more preferable way, even preference shares or different types of asset classes. Maybe the return of political certainty will not be as quick as the Springbok team from 1 week to another. But we are definitely all believing that, the writing is on the wall and hopefully our leaders will also realize that we need a lot more certainty in the market. I think it's key for us to always focus on what we can do rather than the macro economy out there where we can't influence it. And a discussion with a financial advisor will bring solutions like that, even if you then temporarily need to invest into cash or other solutions.
Rather focus on what you can focus on, what you know, than try to, anticipate what you don't know. And I think that is definitely sound. Do you get clients phoning you regularly when, we have a little political explosion somewhere? What is that interaction?
Well, I think that is the norm. You know, I think everyone wants peace of mind, and uncertainty, wherever it comes from, whether it's from your personal life, traumatic events, financial challenges, or the bigger political climate out there, the macro things that you cannot change yourself. That is when everyone is asking those questions, what's happening, what should we do, where are we about? And it would always predominantly come from people who are not still building capital and have, you know, a number of years ahead of them before they potentially retire, etc. It will be more applicable to people who are in retirement and are very worried about their capital. And I think that we need to very carefully understand that the answer, again, is not a simple answer, but there are different methods these days. Yes, we are in a low interest rate environment for many years now, but there are products and there are specific asset classes that we can use to limit and reduce that risk and get a higher average return. And I will be able to explain a little bit more about that, where you push out the you know, your vulnerability on returns for equities, especially if you use a silo system where you are not dependent on returns from markets on a month-to-month basis, but rather spread the investment in the type of philosophy that we specifically also believe in.
What is that philosophy? And could you maybe also refer to asset classes and what the role of a financial advisor should be in asset class allocation?
Yes, no, absolutely. I think all asset classes, cash, bonds, property, equities, local and offshore, are very important as they serve different purposes. The certainty of, for instance, fixed income assets like cash and bonds provides income. They provide stability and reduce risk in a portfolio. These asset classes, they are therefore more suitable for the immediate and shorter term periods in a portfolio, especially if income is required. The inflation beating returns of equities provides growth to a portfolio and is ideal for the longer term periods in a portfolio. In order to ensure these are combined correctly, the purpose of any investment must be to establish the need of a client. Now, we have some specific processes and inherent technology that we use to be able to use all of this information and produce a long-term cash flow that can be like 30 years in advance. And I know it's not certain for 30 years in advance, but every year that you review it, you can forecast it again for another 30 years by looking at what will be the immediate need for the next 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, 5 years, 8 years, etc., and what income is required for that client. We will then rather use interest-bearing type of investments to produce the income and allocate correctly the percentage of the capital upfront to those type of asset classes where you will then not have volatility in your portfolio because you will not draw down on equity investments or unit trusts that are linked to equities, and rather allow it to go through its volatility and equalize or normalize in 5 year and 6-7 year longer periods. It's almost like baking a cake. You know, with equities, you've got to allow it to grow and then to use it and roll it back into income generating funds. That's the short of it, but it's a methodology that works very well.
What is your view on the responsibility of a financial advisor to allocate, you know, investments into different asset classes? Many advisors would, you know, argue that that may be the job of the fund manager.
Yeah, correctly. I think there would be one approach maybe in the market is to use a lot of different balanced funds and to use a portfolio manager to do its job, you know. But I think that could work in a phase where you're still building assets and building capital. It not necessarily works when you are generating income for a client in retirement or when they need to generate income for various other reasons. The job is very specific in allocating asset classes correctly because, like I said, you know, with technology, we can make sure that in you know, the first, second, third, fourth year, we allocate enough money to generate the income with inflation adjusted increases in order to make sure that you produce that income and it removes the volatility of equity returns in the longer term. And then you roll it back every year in order to make sure that there are always income. It's like using a silo system or a process where you have different classes of assets that produce various things, but when it's ready, the asset class that will be ready will be the fixed interest you will draw from that rather than from the equities. Now, that is a very, very, very important job for a financial advisor, because this process will allow you to have higher average returns in the long term. And therefore, the asset allocation must be specific for every client.
I just want to return to the technology you use to forecast potential, future growth. In the 90s, you had many insurance companies offer products that, you pay 100 rand a month, and after 15 years, you get a lump sum of a few million, and sometimes those, forecasts or estimations didn't materialize. How accurate is the technology you use currently?
I think what you refer to would be the average returns and the benefit illustration guides that life assurers used many years ago. It's been done away with for almost, a decade. The probability of returns in different asset classes are used these days. For instance, in cash, you can be assured that the return will be within a certain boundaries, maybe 6 to 8%. For instance, in equities longer term, you know it will be with a return of CPI plus 5, etc. For commercial property, you will combine the income that is adjusted with inflation every year as it increases in line with the rental agreements plus the capital growth. So there are expectations, and we call it expectations, but we use it in the back end to get an average return based on the percentages that we are allowed to be allocated to different asset classes. And you minimize the risk because you have fixed interest investments that you draw down. And this is not illustrated to the client as a benefit illustration. It is real science, backdated, and forward-looking returns. So where we are currently, we do not have returns of 18% on cash like in the year 2000. We have returns on cash of 7 to 8% in different asset classes. And all of that did change. So there are some interesting stories as well about that that I can elaborate on. But I think that's the answer to what you're asking.
Fees, it is always a contentious subject. Mm. I think many clients know more about the fees than they know about the actual returns they have achieved. What is your fee structure?
Well, my clients get the benefit of a long-term partnership and 100% allocation of their capital into the investment. So I do not have any upfront or initial fees on any investment. It is a joint partnership. That's the way we see it. So if you invest 500 rand a month or a big capital lump sum, all of that's allocated, and we only have ongoing management fees for clients.
Do you have a fixed fee for, first-time financial advice to actually, develop a financial plan for a particular or potential client?
We have structures like that. I prefer not to to get into those relationships per se, but I like to advocate long-term relationships. I would rather provide a financial plan for any client, prospective client, in order to show them the loyalty and take on long-term relationships. I have found that after 23 years in this business, you just can't establish a short-term relationship and achieve anything. That's not something that's you know, for the in the best interest for the client or for the advisor, because you just cannot establish all the intricacies of the client's life and give them advice. A long-term relationship develops to a level where a client phones you and you almost know exactly what's going on in their lives and can almost give them on the spot an answer when circumstances in their life change.
BSG has done phenomenally well in recent years. How does the fee structure within the group work? Can you have a different structure than another PSG advisor?
No, we have specific guidelines. There are specific guidelines for our group, and you know, it's applicable to all offices. There are small changes that could happen. You know, there might be initial fees and lower ongoing fees, but in principle, we have what we call a model that is exact, and it must be adhered to, and is in the best interest of the client. And I would like to think that it is an extremely good value proposition for clients.
Thank you, Jaco. That was Jaco Joubert of PSG Wealth in Sandton.